believe you are God and in control.
Welcome to the Worship Generation Radio Ministry with Pastor Joey Brand, a ministry of Worship Generation Church located in Fountain Valley, California. For more information, please visit us at www.worshipgeneration.com.
We believe in the power of the gospel. We believe you can transform every soul. We believe you're the Savior.
Now let's join Pastor Joey as we study through the Bible.
Let the nations be glad, all his saints rejoice, and let the
I don't. My son-in-law, Nate's up there. He's in California right now, teaching tonight at the youth camp for Calvary Chapel High School. And he'll teach tomorrow morning, fly back to Florida. And I'm praying for him today. I'm believing great things for that generation. Praying for the high school graduation with Danny Foster and others from our church on Saturday. I'm believing God for great things in the lives of these kids. Don't let the devil corrupt the simplicity of our minds of believing God for great things. It was William Carey who said, expect great things, attempt great things. And the thought process, he's the father of modern missions, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. The simplicity that God is great. The simplicity of David grabbing five stones and saying and not happening. And if I go down, I'm going down in faith. Like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, 500 years after David, they're like, if we're going down in the fire, we're going down, but we're believing God to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, he's got a plan. There's so much noise. Don't let it corrupt us from the simplicity that's in Christ. When the devil tells you have a terminal illness, not the devil, the doctor. When the doctor tells you have a terminal illness, or you're suddenly facing a tragedy right before your eyes, we cry out to Jesus. There's one Jesus. There's one Spirit. There's one gospel. Then he went on to say this in verse 5. For I consider that I'm not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I'm not in knowledge. See, Paul then wasn't some fancy show or... He was who he was. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. So the lifestyle has been manifested. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel to you free of charge. I robbed other churches. You get the context of what he's saying. Taking wages from them to minister to you. In other words, when Paul ministered to the Corinthians, he drew resources from other ministries so that he could do it. He never took a penny from them. And when I was present with you and in need, verse 9, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from boasting, from this boasting in the region of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. So this element, he's saying, look, I love you guys, man. What more could I do for you? Like they're being led astray. It's almost like if you raise children and you raise them right and all these good things, you did everything, from changing the diapers day one to food, shelter, security, health care, dental care. I mean, let's go for it. The whole package. Private schools, whatever, and then that they went away and someone you don't even know turns their minds against everything that you gave them in your home. You gave them safety, security, and love and the truth and all these things for 18 years. And if someone twists their minds and suddenly my professor knows more than you. Oh, my friends know more than you. It's like, doesn't that just grieve you? It happens all the time. Oh, wait a second. We're spending $100,000 for your college education. So you can come home and tell us we're nitwits. No. Paul's like, okay, so who's poisoned your mind? I've never taken anything from you. We've given to you. We've given you our best. We've given you our love. I've given you everything I could give you. I've served you night and day. I took from others so I could bless you. And here we are in this point of conflict that we can't have unity because your minds are poisoned from the simplicity in Christ and even respecting the position of authority God's given me in your life, which I do not use to lord over you, but to serve you and lead you as a servant leader. And so he says, do I not love you? God knows I love you. Because sometimes you call people, they're like, you don't love me, man. It's like, actually, I do. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Love is sometimes, quite often, having to receive things that maybe you don't want to hear from someone that loves you enough to tell you, and vice versa. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And Paul's like, I'm going to deal with these problems because this is the sphere. So it's kind of like when your parents or you say, or like a boss, and you say, look, you don't have to work for me, but if you do work for me, these are the standards by which we function in this office. And that's just the way it is. If you want to file a complaint, file a complaint. If you want to put the bakery out of business, put the bakery out of business. Just know this. Our God's able to deliver us from the fire, and even doesn't do it, we're still not going to worship your gods. Verse 12, but what I do, I will continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity for those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in all things which they boast. In other words, these guys, if these people come in like, hey, we're this and that, we're, you know, we know more than Paul and this and that. And he's like, they boast of being something in the Lord. We really are something in the Lord. They commend themselves and measure themselves by themselves. Who are these people? We really are, by God's decree, that influence and that impact in your life. These people, who are these people? He says, for such are false apostles, verse 13, deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So it's the great reality. I don't like this reality, but it is a reality that there are people occupying pulpits. Supposedly they're pulpits of righteousness, but they corrupt the simplicity of Christ in people's minds. And their demented liberal theologies, they deny Christ, the need for his blood, they deny the virgin birth, the physical resurrection, his second coming, all these things. And they formulate churches based upon clubs and community, which is very popular in American history, instead of based upon righteousness, divine providence, the personal touch of the Lord, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the revival of the kingdom. And our land is filled with demented minds in the pulpit who are ministers of Satan. They are. They don't get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and believe the Bible is the Word of God. They attack the Word of God, many of them, the vast majority of them, actually. They don't set up seminaries or continue seminaries that once taught evangelical biblical worldview to win people to Christ and win the millennials to Christ. No, they've got demented minds running these places, stumbling people from the simplicity of Christ and mocking people like us who trust in him for all things. But there's an end, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereby is death, and we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that Satan has tantalizing words for the flesh of men and the pride of men. And he uses the temporal and the world to do it. What will a generation give for its soul? Okay, Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of beans, right? And when he sought it, his birthright back, though he cried for with repentance, he didn't receive it. There's a generation coming. They're going to sell their soul for a piece of bread and a glass of water. That's what the end game is. An entire generation controlled by the Antichrist, who has the ability to, he's going to give everyone who's entitled a meal every day, and they're going to take the mark, they're going to bow the knee, and he's going to have all the power of Satan, and they're going to think he's the righteous one who's brought peace to the planet. No wonder Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. No wonder his ministers do too. You know, Jesus said to test all things and hold fast that which is true. His word is true. Those who preach the word of God are true. Those who take from his word are false. Those who add to his word are false. Let God be true and every man a liar. And when it comes to morality and character, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So anyone that makes God corrupt, demented, sinful, or sanction of sin and corruptible elements that destroy people's minds, their lives, the family unit, all that he has, they're demented people They're demented, deceived people who are ministers who transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, but they are Satan's. They are Satan's false apostles. That's what they are. They're deceitful workers. And trust me, by the time we all get into eternity, we'll know that for a fact. And it is unpleasant. Don't you wish it wasn't so? It is unpleasant. But if you lived in Israel, it'd be unpleasant waking up knowing there's people surrounding you that want to refuse to recognize your right to exist and are bent on destroying you from the day you were born until the day you're done. It would change your worldview, right? I mean, there's realities. There are realities that you can't get around. And the fact of the matter is, in the church and in the name of Jesus Christ, there are multitudes of people who profess to represent Christ, who appear to be ministers of righteousness, who are in fact demented, demonically deceived people who deceive others, the blind leading the blind. That's why, for me, it's so critical that every time we gather, the central element of our service is the Word of God being taught verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. Service after service after service. Verse 16, he goes on to say this, I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I may boast a little. So he's saying like, look, you know what? I really have to defend myself, my credentials with you, but I'm going to. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly in the confidence of this boasting. It'd be like, again, like an adult with parents with adult kids going like, you know what? Listen, man, I'm going to lower myself and speak to you this way. And this isn't the Lord, but I'm going to try and relate to you in your world. This is the way it is. You see, that's kind of like the tone. Can you picture that? Okay. He's like, I speak not according to the Lord. It's like, hey, disclaimer. Right now, I'm going to share with you this way, and I belong to the Lord, but this isn't necessarily the Lord, but I'm going to speak to you in a way that you can understand it. I'm going to boast like your friends boast, and I'm going to boast over my right to have influence and sphere in your life over these people. That's what I'm going to do. Seeing that many, verse 18, boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with one if he brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face. And to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Isn't it interesting how that works? People, a vast majority of humanity, want strength. They want to see strength, even if that strength is totalitarianism or authoritativism. They still want strength. We want a strong leader, even if he rules over us and takes everything we got. We want strength, right? We don't want servant leaders. Some people just do not want servant leaders. They want wit and wisdom and authority and brilliant minds and brilliant builders. And I was teaching Ephesians at Downey on Sunday, where it says God is able to do above and beyond that you could think or ask. And when you go to Downey, you just see all this legacy of the ministry of Steve, you know, Steve Mays and, excuse me, of Don John. Yeah, thank you. And Don John, oh my goodness, Jeff Johnson, Don Johnson. Here's the story behind that. A guy came up to me at the first service and he said, I'm the original Don Johnson, like the actor in Miami Vice. And I've had it stuck in my head. Yeah, it was Jeff Johnson. It's true. He was 92, World War II veteran, Korean veteran. Came up to me to talk about my dad. He was a CB and rebuilt the Philippines after, you know, it all went boom, boom and headed up to Okinawa. But his name was Don Johnson, Jeff Johnson, thank you. But there, sharing that passage, you look at this sanctuary, holds 3,500 people. It occupies about, what, 5 prime acres in Los Angeles County off Imperial Highway. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, I'm like, Jeff Johnson was out of his mind running through the jungles of Kauai without his clothes on when Jesus Christ got a hold of him. God is able to do above all that we think or ask. And I think, like, did God do in L.A. through that ministry more than what he could ever have thought? Like, when he went to go start the church, he's like, oh, maybe we'll reach 100 people, you know, and maybe we can reach some hippies in Bellflower or something. Could he have ever imagined, you know, his radio ministry, all the missionaries on the back walls? But you know what? See, we think like, oh, above and beyond. No, but the really thing that God does above and beyond that was able is what he's doing in us. And As God works in us, he creates humility. And that is the great contrast to the world. We're not trying to lord over people. We're trying to lead people through serving people. We win people through service. As Jesus washed the apostles' feet, he says, "Have you seen me do? You do. And happy are those who follow my example." Paul served in humility. And as people attacked him, like, oh, he doesn't have like a really strong pulpit presence, you know, Paul and all. Like his letters are weighty, but his when he speaks, it's just kind of like, who is this guy? When he's on the list of conference speakers, they're like, oh, Paul the Apostle again. You know, they always book this guy for the Southwest Pastors Conference, Paul the Apostle. You know, it's like, I'm going to take a lunch break on Paul the Apostle speaking, you know. We want someone dynamic, you know. It's like, you know, big builder, bigger vision. You know, no, the vision is humility and serving others. And if people think it's foolish, then let them think it's foolish. I'll tell you what, when you voluntarily serve people, unconditionally serve people, you gain equity in the ministry to their soul. Because the world's full of takers. You have a no soliciting on your door, right? Because people are coming in to sell you something. They want to take something. You have something in your house they want to separate from you and take it with them. Now they might be selling something really good and they'll convince you you want it. Maybe you do. I don't know. But it's like, who comes to your door like, hey, I got something to give you? Nah. No. Even when they say like, hey, have you heard the good news? I got something to give you. Usually it's no. You want, you know. So when we serve people and we serve them unconditionally, and we've been talking about this with Paul and the Corinthians, it just strengthens your hand of ministry. And so it's amazing. Paul says it's amazing. Someone could strike you on the face, strike you on the cheek, and you'll take it from them because you think they're like a cool leader. You know, it's amazing how people like to be part of a cool group. They'll put up with a bully that runs the group. Hey, you know, how about I'm in the group. You know, it's like, you'll put up with that instead of someone who loves you and serves you unconditionally. There's a funny thing about human nature that way. But the humility that Paul had and the humility God would seek to have us and have in our lives, people might see to our shame, but it's to God's honor. Verse 22. So now Paul shares his personal testimony. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. That right there with Timmy being at Cal Maritime and being in the shipping industry, I think 3 times I was shipwrecked. Who gets shipwrecked 3 times? Who even gets shipwrecked once? What are the chances once? 3 times? Can you imagine how terrifying it is to go down with the ship? I mean, like, I'm like this on the Catalina Cruiser, right? I mean, I just... Yeah, it's like to go down with the ship 3 times, shipwrecked 3 times. Like, by the 3rd time, you're going like, really, Lord? You know, like, yeah, 3 times. How about a night and day I've been in the deep? A night and day in the deep. Are we talking like treading water? Are we talking a little floaty raft or something? Either way, who wants to spend a night and day in the deep? A night and day in the deep. A few years ago, a South African surfer, they were all drinking and partying on a ship down there in the Maldives where all the good surf is, all the private boats taking all these good waves, and he fell overboard. And no one knew it till the next morning. He's a Safa, as they say. You know, those South Africans, you know, they wear ties when they go to school. These guys are smart. They got that Dutch background. Hey, that guy treaded water all night. That boat came back and they found him like 10 hours, a night and day in the deep. Man, there's all kinds of stories of stuff like that, right? Paul for Jesus. If you spent a night and day in the deep because you were drinking and fell off the boat, man, that would motivate you to stay alive. I think it would even more. But a night and day in the deep with Jesus. And the ocean's a pretty quiet place, the middle of the ocean. I would imagine floating around either on a raft or treading water. It's a kind of a God time, isn't it? In journeys often, in perils, verse 26, of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the, in the city, in perils in the wilderness. Wow, is there any place you're not in perils? No. He was always attacked. In perils in the sea. There's another one for the ocean again. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. You know, it makes you realize when he, the whole thing in Book of Acts with the big storm and they're throwing everything overboard and it was like, oh man, we're done. He's like, no, God's granted me all your souls. Why was he the coolest cat on the ship when they're going up and down the Adriatic Sea? Because it was just common everyday occurrence for Paul. He's like, no, God's going to deliver us. I've asked him for your souls. We're all going to come through this. The story there in Acts 27 of another shipwreck, which makes four at least if you're counting, because this is before that. In perils among false brethren, verse 27, in weariness and toil, in sleepiness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Man, is there anything worse than being cold? Like if you don't have enough, when you go to the beach and it's cold, and you say, it's like, oh, the cold's, so, well, hot's bad too, but you get older, it seems like cold is worse, you know? Verse 28, besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, who is weak and I'm not weak, who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, and of course this is in the book of Acts, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. And then he's going to continue his testimony in the next chapter, things about his testimony. What an adventure. Scott started the evening telling me, like, man, your adventures with the USA Surf Team, that's nothing. This is adventures. Can you imagine the adrenaline of trying to be, you're getting out of a city when there's a garrison looking for you and they're going to kill you? And you got you and Jesus and you just got Jesus? All the things. But I'll leave you with this thought. He said his concern for the churches was strong upon his heart. So all that he went through personally wasn't the issue. It was about his concern for others and the churches. And then he said, who is weak and I'm not weak, and who's made to stumble and I don't burn with indignation. You know, in the end, Paul just had such a heart for people, and he was protective of people. When people were stumbled, he was upset. When the church suffered, he was upset. He cared. He wanted to bring people together. He wanted to build bridges but confront evil and that delicate balance of both. And I would just encourage us, I just think it's very commendable here in verse 28 and verse 29 that he really felt with compassion, empathy, and concern for what went on in the lives of other people. And I think that's important. I think it's really important that we look at people and not only see the potential of what God can do in their life, but we see the potential in those people and we feel the empathy for those people. And I mentioned this, but I close with this. But when my, you know, my seeing my sister on the street as a homeless person, it's hard. And because, you know, she's always like yelling at something with a cart. But the moment she sees me, she snaps out of it. She's totally normal, pretty close to it. But she's 50, all right? You know, and this last week, I was down at Newport, and there was a homeless person at the corner of Orange Street and PCH. There's showers there, and it was early in the morning, and they had their bike and their gear. My sister has a cart, you know, but they had their bike and their gear. And somebody came by on a bike, and they kind of bopped her. And she's about my sister's age. She looks about 50. She looked like a homeless woman, 50 on the streets, like my sister looks, you know? And she flinched, and she's like, what? You know? And this is what I thought. I was waiting for the light to turn left coming out of the beach at Orange Street to go back toward Huntington. And I thought, I wonder how many people hit her. And I was like, her life is valuable. And someone going on a bike just threw an elbow at her, you know? And I, you know, the first thing was, I just wanted to jump out. I did. Because you know who I saw in her? My sister. You know who else I saw? Me. You. Us. Jesus. Humanity. Yeah. Who is made to stumble and I'm not filled with indignation? We need to care about the suffering of other people. That's the legacy of the church. And I just want to encourage us to have that vision. And it's been humbling going through all I've been through in my family the last year. It's been crushing. But you know, I'm glad I look at something like that and I care about that person. I smile and I wave and when the light turns green, you know, it's like, because I don't want to harden myself to the needs of humanity around me. And certainly you don't want to come to church on Tuesday night and go out these doors and harden yourself toward the needs of people around you. But if you're sensitive, God's going to bring people to you so you can minister to them.
You've been listening to the Worship Generation Radio Ministry with Pastor Joey Brand. If you would like more information about the ministry of Worship Generation, visit us online at www.worshipgeneration.com, where you can listen to the podcast of today's entire message. Worship Generation is located at 10350 Ellis Avenue in Fountain Valley, California. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And also follow Pastor Joey on Instagram under the tag name at Joey Brand. Thanks for listening and God bless.
Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed, not ashamed of the one I love. Not ashamed, not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed, not ashamed.